Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free, at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Save big on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Finish up projects with GE-branded silicone sealants. Tub and tile silicone is 100% waterproof and offers same-day water readiness, making it perfect to use in kitchens and bathrooms. Shop our selection of GE sealants in-store and on Menards.com and save big. Plus, check out the weekly flyer to view all of our other great deals happening this week. Save big money at
Menards. Welcome to the Boneyard with Steve Robertson. As always, I am your good friend and host, Steve Robertson, here on the Hump Day edition of the Yard. It's been a busy day. It has been. We had to break some news today. A lot going on. We'll get into that a little bit later in the show. But it's been busy. And I got to get up early in the morning to head to Como. And we're going to spend much of our first segment talking about the Tigers. I interviewed Coach Kerrick Jackson earlier today. If you're a Jeans Page member, and you certainly should be, you can go over there and read what he had to say in its entirety. I do have a couple things to pull out that I'll share with you in our preview. But, I like Kerrick Jackson. You know, he was, of course, at Southern University. I've got some connections to that program. Did years ago when Roger Cador was there. And so we had a chance to talk a little bit about Roger and kind of what he's up to and how he's still around the program, not coaching, just kind of helping out on the fundraising side. But nevertheless, I want to say, too, it's super cool, too. That's one thing this year I wanted to add some more in-depth coverage. You know, so much big room stuff and so much that gets watered down because everybody's using the same quotes. And I just wanted to have something unique, you know, for our readers to get some insight about our opponents. So we started doing that. I'm going to continue to do it. Of course, Coach Jackson, the last of the coaches until we get into the postseason. And then, of course, those media sessions are a little more structured by the NCAA. So things will be a little bit different. But all of that understood, it's been great. I appreciate these coaches making time for me. Had to use some connections and relationships at times to get people on the phone. We didn't get everybody. But I think when it was all said and done, we got all but maybe three coaches, four. And I appreciate so many of them. I mean, of course, you expect us to get Butch Thompson, Nick Mangione. I mean, right, you know, people that have connections to Mississippi State. But, so appreciative for these coaches making a little time for us. And I tell you that the fun part about it has been kind of talking to the midweek coaches. Now, you know, the notoriety of a one-on-one interview with a sitting SEC coach, pretty cool. But the guys that have been the most excited to talk have been like the midweek coaches. You know, those guys, the G5 guys, don't get a lot of press. And so a chance for them to kind of talk about their program, it's been very, very rewarding. And I want to thank everybody that's been so incredibly, supportive of those pieces. And so, yeah, if you're a Jeans Page member, you've been able to read all that stuff. Exclusive interviews. And again, we had some breaking news earlier today. Again, we'll get into that a little bit later. But let's thank our friends at Bulldog Burger Company. I love Bulldog Burger Company. I love it for so many reasons, but one of the things I love the most is I know exactly what to expect. There's just no surprises. There's a consistency there that just doesn't exist with many other restaurants. It's just true, you know. You can see for yourself, the more times you go, the more impressed you're going to be that you always remember your first time, but it only gets better, right? It only gets better because you learn what to expect and you begin to kind of say, you know what, this place is for me because I know that I can go in here, put my feet under their table and they're going to take care of everything else. Whether it's a lunch with work colleagues or a night out with friends or family, Bulldog Burger Company is the place for you. Three great locations to serve you: University Drive in Stark Vegas, Gloucester Street there in Tupelo, Lake Harbor Drive in the Ridge and Flowood area. Have the spring rolls as your appetizer. They'll make you and everybody around you better looking. Get that chocolate shake to go. You can ride that right home with a smile. But find your own favorites. You know, some days when I'm going for the lunch portion, I get those Sloppy Joe sliders. Some days I get the chicken sandwich. But most days I go and get the hamburger. Some days when I'm feeling like eating a little, you know, really fresh, you know what I mean? And I don't mean that other things aren't fresh, but you know what I'm saying? Sometimes you just need some leafy green vegetables in your life. And I have that BLT salad. I like it grilled. You may like it fried. I'm not judging. But you can find exactly what you need to make it through the day. A great meal. I don't just eat for survival. I eat for enjoyment. And I enjoy going to Bulldog Burger Company. You will too. Ask your kids where they want to go tonight. They're going to tell you. So if you're in town or on the way to town, make sure you stop by Bulldog Burger Company. The place where people go to meet. M-E-A-T. Okay. It has been a very difficult year in Missouri. Now, a lot of people look up and said he must have a coaching problem. You know, here's the thing. The first thing that I would say, I think that Missouri is probably the most difficult job in the Southeastern Conference on the baseball side. And let me tell you why. Number one, you don't have a real natural recruiting footprint. Yes, there's a lot. St. Louis, Missouri, right? A lot of baseball players there. But a lot of the best players in St. Louis leave the state. Right? Everybody comes to the SEC. And a lot of reasons you do. You want to play in the South. You want to play in warmer weather. Well, that's just not the case. Mizzou, it's a lot cooler, a lot longer up there. And so it's difficult to get kids to go there. So sometimes, you know, you're having to get, dare I say it, kind of leftovers. It's true. From a facility standpoint, it's the worst in the SEC. I'll take some pictures and send out, not to make Missouri look bad, but just to kind of give you an idea. People think I'm joking. We have a Jones Junior College, Jones College, whatever we're calling it these days. I was a Bobcat. Guess the stadium at Jones is better than it is at Columbia, Missouri. It is. It's better. And so they have not invested in that program, and they're kind of getting the results that go along with that. And so that's a problem. So you've got a program that is somewhat talent deficient. And then Logan Lunsford, the guy that you signed and kind of built up, he actually has a connection to my family, believe it or not. His uncle married my sister. True story. But Logan Lunsford, you know, comes along, pitches as a freshman, kind of gets it going, and then enters the portal, lands at Wake. And then, okay, you say, all right, well, we'll move Javen Pimentel from Sunday to Friday. And then you get back from holiday break, and Javen Pimentel has to have Tommy John. So two guys you expected to be two-thirds of your weekend rotation, gone. One to the portal, one to injury. On top of that, you know, they're going to bring some guys along. You know, Sam Horn's a guy that had TJ last year. He was a former four-star quarterback. And then Josh McDevitt, a guy they thought would really compete for a weekend spot, right before the season gets going, he has a lat strain, and he's out. So they've been ravaged with injuries on the pitching side. And then on top of that, they go out and sign one of, if not the best, junior college shortstops in the country this year, thinking, okay, we're in a good spot here. Now, that spot's kind of worked out okay for them. But all that understood, I mean, you get into, you get done with fall and you start thinking, okay, we kind of know what we got, know what we're going to be dealing with. And then next thing you know, you got some guys that are out of commission. And Garrett Goldbeck is the guy we're speaking about. He has still DH'd for them some, even though he's got to have Tommy John surgery. Pretty crazy. So you lose your starting shortstop, you lose two-thirds of your returning rotation, and then you lose a couple guys you expected to challenge and have big roles in the rotation. So it has been kind of a perfect storm in many respects when it's come to futility. And I don't think that's a reflection on Kerrick Jackson. I mean, you know what he did at Southern, and of course had the 1 year there at Memphis, and But, you know, I don't know if Missouri ever really challenges for anything significant in the SEC, but they are a better program and certainly a better coaching staff than their 16-35 record would indicate. And I'm not going to sit here and try to hype these guys up. We certainly should go win this series. And there's some other things I'm going to tell you that we may be in a position to sweep. It's so difficult to predict that. We've never won a series in Como. We only played a couple. We never won a series in Como. And then last year had a chance to sweep. We couldn't get it done on Sunday. You know, so we'll expect 2 out of 3 and hope for 3. But they open up the year and lose 10-0 to Penn State. They bounce back to beat UConn 11-7. UConn has historically been kind of a solid mid-major, so you felt like maybe that's pretty good. Then they lose to Stetson 9-7. All that happens down at Puerto Rico. So you lose 2 of 3, but you were competitive in 2 of those 3 and felt like maybe you're going to be in pretty good shape. You come back on the way home, and you stop at Central Florida to play those guys in Orlando. You get beat 7-1. And then they go play in the Andre Dawson Classic, which is at the Jackie Robinson Training Complex out in Vero Beach, Florida. They went 2 of 3 down there, but they're against SWAC schools or HBCUs. No disrespect intended, but they narrowly get FAMU 6-5. And then they lose to a really good Alabama State team in that league, 10-2, and then they bounce back to beat Southern 15-3. So you win 2, but man, those games were maybe more competitive than they should have been, considering you're a Southeastern Conference team, right? They get Lindenwood, which seems like everybody does. They get them 14-10, and then the Purple Aces of Evansville go into Como, and the Tigers get 2 of 3. Now, granted, the Aces were 2 of 4. They were built to win last year. But, they earn a split there. Binghamton goes in for 4 games, too. This is why the RPI is a killer, right? So they split, again, 2 out of 4. 2 4-game sets. And, again, this is a pitching staff that's already in a situation where you're already lacking depth. But they're trying to stack some wins together when they can. Weren't able to get it done. And so you get through with the non-conference portion of the schedule, before SEC play starts, and you begin to think, okay, where are we? Well, we're 8-8. We're 500. So you haven't been able to stack things up. And then you open up at LSU. You get swept. The middle game was competitive. Then Ole Miss goes into Como. Cold weather. Rebels sweep it. 2 of those games, not really competitive. The Friday night game was at 9-6, but you get swept again, so you're 0-6. They bounce back to beat Illinois in a midweek game on a neutral field there in Saugat, Illinois, at the Grizzlies ballpark. Then Texas rolls in, right? Crazy. They take 3. The middle game, a little bit competitive, 7-4. They blast UAPB 25-10, bounce back to get a second game from them. You're thinking, okay, midweeks maybe can carry a little bit. Then Arkansas. It's like an Omaha train running through there, right? Arkansas absolutely destroys them. 3 consecutive blowouts. And they all go, and they had 2-7 scheduled for Sunday. Well, it would have been 7 anyway. 14-4 and 16-2. I mean, they get absolutely shelled that weekend. Missouri scores 9 runs. They give up 51. They beat Southern Illinois University at Edwardsville 11-8 on the road. And then Florida comes in, and Florida gets all 3. And this really kind of got Florida going. The final game of the series was competitive 3-2. And give Florida some credit, but Florida's playing really well right now. Mizzou gets Missouri State, the Bears, our friends, and they get them 10-9 in Como. And then Oklahoma comes in, sweeps them again. And again, all 3 of these are mercy rule games, 17-4, 17-7, 12-1. Not competitive. They travel to Missouri State, go over to Springfield, and they get mercy ruled there too, 11-0. Then they started getting some guys back pitching-wise. Not great, not guys that were extended, but they started getting some guys back. All of a sudden, the margins began to shrink a little bit. They go to Alabama. Alabama wins 7-5. They win 7-3, and then they just kind of run out of pitching and get beat 12-1 in Game 3 in a mercy rule game. They go to Kansas, and they lose there 9-3. Well, then 2 weekends ago, Georgia goes to Como. And you know how explosive that Georgia offense has been, especially at home. Not that I'm suggesting anything. But then Georgia goes up there, and again, this is a team that can swing it pretty well, right? Most of these games are very competitive. Georgia wins 9-2, 5-2, and 4-2. Then they have Kansas come in, lose that game 6-5 in the midweek. And Kansas, you know, just recently dropped out of top 25. And then, of course, last weekend they go to A&M, and they sweep the series. Now, I think, number one, there's a couple of factors here. Missouri getting some pitching back, some guys they expected to play prominent roles in their rotation and certainly near relief efforts. Those guys are back. And then you got A&M that is just kind of like, when is this thing going to be over? When is it going to be over? It's been a nightmare of a season for A&M. You know, we expected Missouri to be the 16th team in the league. They are, right? So, you know, it's been worse than we thought. But can you begin to imagine, in hindsight, that the number one, preseason number one team in the country would get swept at home by the number 16 team that was winless in the conference before they showed up? That wasn't on anybody's radar. And I watched that Sunday game in its entirety, and you'd have thought Missouri was the top 10 team and that A&M was the last place team. There is some give up in that A&M lineup, and that's surprising to me. And maybe it's because you got so many guys in a draft year and they're thinking, you know what, this season isn't going anywhere. I'm just going to go play for me. They'll deny it, but I don't believe it. It was a disgusting performance by A&M on Sunday. I mean, some incredibly selfish swings. And they just kind of played right into the hands of Missouri, a team that was playing with house money. Hey, we've already come down here and won two. And then they shell you 10-1, nearly mercy ruled Texas A&M at home the next to last weekend of the season when you're trying to fight for your postseason lives, and A&M probably not going to make tournament now. Probably. So now the Bulldogs come in, and as we've mentioned, the history has not been great. Again, we haven't played up there a whole lot, but we've had difficulty closing the deal. You remember the national champs of 2021, Missouri comes in here and takes 2 of 3 and cost us a share of the regular season SEC title. Not to mention, that Sunday, we could not get them out. We absolutely could not get them out. It didn't matter who we trotted out there. They just battered whoever we tossed out there. We go up there in 22, a chance to win it. Cade Smith, we'd probably leave him in a hit or two long. Cade got out there and battled, and the next thing you know, it's trouble. And we get walked off in the ninth. Casey Hunt had pitched really well. The stadium is up on the hill. We probably need the wind blowing out for us. I don't think they've got a lot of juice. We do. So we don't need the wind blowing in, but it looks like it's going to be blowing out to left around 10 miles an hour based on what I've seen. When I get on site, we'll give you a weather report there. But let's kind of look inside the numbers here, if we can, if you'll indulge me.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along, which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free, at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Save big on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Finish up projects with GE-branded silicone sealants. Tub and tile silicone is 100% waterproof and offers same-day water readiness, making it perfect to use in kitchens and bathrooms. Shop our selection of GE sealants in-store and on Menards.com and save big. Plus, check out the weekly flyer to view all of our other great deals happening this week. Save big money at Menards.
And we've talked about Jackson Lovitz a few times. You know, he is a guy that this hadn't been much around him, but he's still producing, man. And 357. I mean, Jackson Lovitz is probably a second-team All-SEC selection on the last-place team. It makes it even more impressive that he's got nothing around him. 357, 11 jacks, 48 ribby, nearly hit for the cycle on Sunday. 46 strikeouts and 171 at-bats. So the strikeout ratio, not elite, but you know, he's got to get some base and can move a little bit out there. Pierre Seals, another guy that you know, maybe you're somewhat familiar with. I don't know. I don't know your knowledge of Missouri baseball. But he is another guy, too, originally out of Memphis. So we played against him at Missouri. Excuse me, at Memphis. And then he makes the move to Mizzou with Coach Jackson. But Pierre was arguably the best player on that Memphis team. He is the second leading hitter among the regulars at 311. From there, it dips down a little bit. Caden Pierce hitting 289. Caden Nicoletto's hitting 276. And from there, it's all kind of sub-250. You got a few guys in there that have been, you know, somewhat regular that are hitting around 300, but they don't have a lot of at-bats. But as a team, they're hitting 268. Not great. Not great. And you look at this lineup, they've had to move some guys around from time to time. But, you know, they've got a few guys out there that have got some, you know, ability to hit the long ball. Mateo Serna is one of those. He's got 7 jacks, which is second on the team, 32 RBI, which is third highest on the team. But they're just not a team that puts a lot in play. Now, you wouldn't know it from watching it last weekend against A&M. And again, that A&M rotation, and this is one of those things too, and maybe it's about Michael Early, or maybe it's about A&M. I don't know. But it also says a little bit about Jim Schlossnagel, right? That he was able to get that team to the cusp of a national championship last year, and they returned just about the entire roster and not even going to finish 500 in the league this year. You know, for those people that say coaching doesn't matter, well, there's Exhibit A, Your Honor, Exhibit A. Missouri does like to steal the bases a little bit. 87 attempts, 65 successful. One of the most successful guys is Caden Pierre, 12 of 14. But, yeah, you got to be able to control the running game up there. And, of course, they got the turf field up there, so everybody thinks they're fast. But it's kind of up and down the order. They're kind of opportunistic when they do it. It's not like playing Oklahoma or Kentucky. We did a good job kind of keeping Kentucky off the base paths. But an interesting offense. Bottom line is we got to go out there and throw strikes. Throw strikes and play clean defense. And, again, you know, we've struggled at Oklahoma at times with that turf field. And that's one of the things that I consider. Well, maybe when not being quite so cold, maybe it'll be helpful. On the pitching side of things, a couple things that I want to tell you right out of the gate. Sam Horn, who has recently kind of come on after recovering from Tommy John and has been a weekend starter, well, not going to pitch this weekend. Yeah, not going to pitch. They're holding him for next week, and I'll get into that shortly. He comes back, throws an inning against Missouri State, has a rough outing against Alabama, only goes one inning, gives up 5 runs on 4 hits. But the 2 outings since then against Georgia, and you know how prolific that offense is, he goes 3 scoreless. 3 scoreless. 5 Ks, 1 walk. Goes to A&M last week. He's dealing again when the rain comes. So he goes 2 2/3. The rain comes. That exhausts him for the game. The rain delay lasted over an hour. 5 Ks and a walk there. So he's really rounding back into form, and they're not going to throw him this weekend. So a guy that has started has pitched last 3 weekends, and I want to make sure that we're nailing that down. Really good against Georgia, really good against A&M, not going to pitch this weekend against us. And I'll explain shortly why. Will Libert, a redshirt freshman, out of St. Thomas, Missouri, product of Blair Oaks High School, lefty, 6'1", 205. Another guy that has pitched regularly in the midweek and then made the move to the weekend rotation right around the time that they begin to get more competitive. against Alabama, Georgia, and Texas A&M. He goes five innings against Georgia, allows six hits, just two runs, strikes out seven, no walks. And then last week against A&M, five innings, one hit, one run, three walks, five strikeouts. Not going to pitch this weekend. You're like, Steve, why? Well, I'll tell you why. And he didn't say it maybe as succinctly as I'm about to. But the reality of it is this. Missouri, this weekend, other than the fact that you play the game, you want to go compete. Like, this weekend is not going to change the trajectory of their season. They're going to be 16 seed this, no matter what happens, barring something totally unforeseen, right? They're going to be 16. I guess they could sneak into 15 if some things happened. So they're saving their better arms for Hoover. Yeah. So even if you sweep the series against Mississippi State and you throw all your best arms and you go all in, you're still going to be the 16 seed, barring something unforeseen. And then you've exhausted your best arms for Hoover, so you're one and done in Hoover. The season's over. It appears to me what Coach Jackson's thinking, hey, we can't improve our seeding, so let's see if we can't make a run. Because, hey, if we get to Hoover and go on a four-game winning streak with our best arms, we could still make the tournament. So that's the thing you begin to ask yourself. Do I want to go all in to win these three this weekend against Mississippi State? I mean, of course the position players are. Listen, those guys are athletes. They're going to be ready to go. But on the pitching side, they're going to have some younger guys step up. But the reality of it is Kerrick Jackson is getting his team to play their best baseball when it matters most, and it may be too little too late, but it seems to be, you know what, we're going to go all in at Hoover. We're going to go out there and swing it against Mississippi State, but we're going to save our premium arms for Hoover and see if we can't string together four wins and win the SEC tournament. Now, I don't think that's going to happen, but that is the only chance they have to make an NCAA regional, is to win the tournament. And so if you fire all your bullets this weekend, then all you got is a pop gun come Tuesday, and it's over. And so it's an interesting strategy, but the reality of it is it may be the only one that matters to those guys. It's true. If you want to extend the season, then you got to go win the games that make the difference. And again, you're looking, you know, those two guys not pitching is significant. It is. And again, it's not that it's been a great staff, but probably your two most talented guys are not going to go against Mississippi State. And that's why you listen to this show, right? We'll probably see Xavier Lovett, though. But they have not announced what they're going to do the rest of the weekend. Now, Brady Kellenbrink is going to start. It's a left-handed true freshman out of Baldwin, Missouri, product of Parkway South High School. He is going to be the Thursday starter. Now, he got knocked around a little bit against Texas A&M last week. Goes 2 2/3, five hits, six runs, a couple Ks. The week before, really good outing against Georgia, goes 4 1/3, allows just one hit. Alabama the week before, Oklahoma. So this is a guy that, you know, has got some SEC experience. And, again, a lefty, you know, kind of trying to neutralize our guys. And then it's TBD the rest of the way. Does that mean Ian Lohse starts? You know, left-handed pitcher out of St. Louis. You know, he could be a guy that we see. You know, a lot of us could depend on the complexity of the weekend. But he's been a spark starter. Caden Jacoby is a guy that's pitched a little bit. But as a staff, man, this ERA is 8.82 as a staff. And then you begin to back some guys out of here like, you know, Will Libert and Sam Horn. And they're over five, you know. But two of your top five earned run average pitchers that have pitched well as of late, not going to pitch this weekend. Josh McDevitt, a guy that pitched last weekend, and he was phenomenal against Texas A&M. He's another guy that's been out for a while with that lat strain, and so I'm sure we'll see him at some point. But, again, it's just interesting to look at the dynamics of this series, and you start thinking about, you know, you've had a bunch of injuries, you've had to throw some guys out there, but it's 422 strikeouts against 271 walks. You know, we talk about you'd like it to be 3-1. It's not even 2-1. And so Bulldogs are going to probably see a lot of pitches out of the zone. Missouri has plunked 92 hitters this year. And then again, two of your more competitive guys are not going to be around. So just some things to think about as we kind of work through this. But, they got plenty of arms. It's just not a lot of guys have had much success this year. Looking at conference pitching, and we'll take a swing back at SEC hitting too before we get to our top 10 list. But and SEC play among the regulars, we talked about, Will Libert. Four starts in SEC play. ERA of 5.40. Not going to play this weekend. Xavier Lovett, former Bulldog. 12 appearances, 6.67 ERA. 23 Ks against 17 walks. And that was kind of the book on him here. Control was a bit of an issue too. We mentioned Sam Horn, his resurgence. Three SEC starts. 6.75 ERA. He's not going to go. Ian Lohse is a guy that started some for him, as we mentioned before. I suspect we see him. But three starts in SEC play, just 13 innings, though. Brady Kellenbrink, we talked about him. He's got eight starts in SEC play this year, ERA of 9.49. That's the guy you're going to see. Batting average against is .278 in SEC play. When you do the math on this, of all the pitchers that have pitched in the SEC, and let's count them together, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19. Guys, 14 of those 19 pitchers have an ERA and SEC play of 9 or higher. So this is not going to be a great pitching team. And then again, you factor in, of the five guys that do have an ERA less than 9, two of them are not pitching this weekend. Two others in that mix have made a combined 4 appearances in SEC play. So we should be offensive. We need to be offensive. And I'm not going to sit here and hype this up. I know what it is we're also emotionally invested. And you're thinking, oh, my gosh, we cannot afford to go up there and lay an egg. Guys, it is there for us to take. This is not a great pitching staff. And then, again, two of the premium arms available this weekend, not going to pitch. Going to be held over for Hoover. And I'll be honest with you. I'll be pulling for Missouri next week unless you're playing us. I like Eric Jackson. And I like a good Cinderella story, too. And I'd love for Missouri to come in there and just be a fly in the ointment of the SEC and just go ahead and shake things up, even if they don't win the tournament. Wouldn't you love it, like, if Missouri just kind of showed up and, like, won a couple of games and knocked some people out and cost somebody a hosting opportunity, put somebody on the road? I love the chaos when it doesn't impact us. Not to mention, if we go win this series, and I certainly expect us to, any win that they get in Hoover will probably be against somebody with a much better RPI than they have. They have the worst RPI in the conference. So anything they get, especially if against a team that we don't play, like if they were able to go up there and beat A&M again or somehow beat Tennessee, you know what I'm saying? Something like that. Those points only help us because we're going to need every RPI point we can get. All right, it's time for our Close with Blair, Player of the Weekend to Watch. Is sponsored by Blair Chandler, our friend in the mortgage industry, 24 years of experience. Get his expertise and know-how working for you. His phone number, 601-500-2344. Again, 601-500-2344. Blair closed another Boneyard loan last week. You could be next. Make the dream of home ownership a reality for you. Maybe it's eluded you in the past. Blair's a guy, too, that can get you that pre-qualification letter, get you, kind of sized up to know exactly what you're shopping for instead of shopping above your means. It doesn't matter how nice a house you have. You got to work overtime all the time and aren't able to enjoy it just to pay the mortgage, right? So whether it's a starter home, your first home, your next home, your retirement home, look no further than Blair Chandler at closeandblair.com, a Bulldog through and through, multiple season ticket holder in multiple sports. Got a place here in town. My friend, your friend, can be your advocate with underwriting to ensure that you have the best chance of getting to the closing table and getting keys to your new home. That's Blair Chandler at closeofblair.com. Okay, our player to watch this weekend is going to be Carson Ligon because I feel pretty confident we're going to get the first two. That's how I feel. Of course, we don't know the pitching matchups for games two or three, but you got to feel like going into game three, they're probably not going to have a lot left, especially since they're holding a couple guys. And if you look at the numbers, Missouri, 484 strikeouts as a team. That is actually next to last in the SEC. You say, Steve, who's worse, Georgia, believe it or not? Yeah, a lot of swing and miss in a Georgia lineup. When you've got a launch angle offense, it's kind of feast or famine. But Missouri hitting 268, which is third from the bottom. Vanderbilt and A&M are the only teams worse offensively from a batting average standpoint. And you can work through a lot of metrics here. But with so much swing and miss in the lineup and then not a ton of home runs, you feel like Carson may have an opportunity to really challenge these guys in the zone. Missouri's got 50 home runs. The only team with less in the league is Kentucky. And you saw he did a good job against Kentucky. And we pulled him when we needed to. But not a lot of extra base hits and a lot of swing and miss, not a lot of contact. And I think Carson Ligon, because of the matchup and the fact that he's going to be throwing in a very important game for Mississippi State, that's going to be our player to watch this weekend, Carson Ligon. And of course, it's difficult to pick an offensive player without knowing the pitching matchups. But maybe we can get Noah Sullivan going a little bit this weekend, especially Thursday night. And I think this is one of those games, too. If the wind is out to left, then the left-hander pitching against the righties is an advantage for us. And with Pico throwing, lefty against those guys, they got a lot of left-handers in their lineup, or they have historically. Of course, they'll probably, work the matchups, try to get some righties in there. But, again, not a very potent offense, so I favor Mississippi State's pitching. And Justin Parker will have, a great game plan and probably want to make somebody besides Jackson Lovitch beat us. But there you go. Close the Blair player of the weekend to watch. Okay, time for today's top 10 list. Brought to you by Kalido Guitars. That's C-A-L-I-D-O, Kalido Guitars, a Mississippi State company owned and operated out of Lake Jackson, Texas. The owner's mom still lives here in Starkville. Gets back from time to time. I've had lunch with them. Very proud to partner with them because they're doing some amazing things on the guitar front and the Mississippi State front. You can take part in that. I know every one of you has a guitar player in your family, or at least in your circle of friends. And so I'm going to encourage you to recommend Kalido Guitars to them. And let me tell you why. Number one, incredible instruments. Great selection. And all of the trimmings, right? The guitar case, the gig bag, the strings, everything you need to be a guitar player other than talent, you can find at Kalido Guitars. Now, you can call, you can shop online, you can stop by in person. We'll give you a promo code. It's BSR, Beautiful Steve Robertson. That gets you 10% off your purchase, gets you free shipping, gets you free sales tax unless you live in the state of Texas, and gets a 5% donation of your purchase price to the Bulldog Excellence Fund. Think about that for a second. I mean, if you're going to buy a guitar anyway, let's buy it from Bulldog, knowing that some of that money is going to go right back directly to Mississippi State. Cool thing, right? Incredible instruments, exemplary service before, during, and after the sale. Their expertise is unmatched. I like to keep business in the family when we can. And so rather than going like on Amazon and just shopping at some conglomerate, let's keep business within the family and support a Mississippi State business. That's KalidoGuitars.com out of Lake Jackson, Texas. Okay, so mañana is mine and Dana's anniversary. So I thought we'd take a journey into sound to celebrate the anniversary. So if I live long enough for tomorrow, if I make it through the night, then I will have been married to this beautiful blonde bombshell for 32 years. Yes, go ahead. Yes, I'll take the applause. Yes. And guys, I'll tell you, it hadn't always been easy, but it's always been worth it. Nothing in life worth having is easy. It's true, I guess, unless you win a lottery. In some respects, I did. And you guys know, 3 years ago, when she was a travel nurse in Lott, it nearly killed me. It did. She hates it when I say that, but I cannot believe I ever agreed to that. And incredibly, it was my idea in the first place. I thought, hey, maybe we'll do this for a little while. we'll stack up some money in the bank and, you know, things will be great. Things weren't great. We did stack up some money, but it wasn't great. And, you know, the only really positive thing is we found out about TruRest Float Spa when she was out in Albuquerque. Really the only positive thing about her being in New Mexico. But nevertheless, I could run off a bunch of songs here. Like, I could put Little River Band's Happy Anniversary on this. I didn't. I wanted to give meaningful songs from our journey together in your top 10. And I ranked them basically on how I liked them. And some of these songs used to make me emotional, to be honest with you. I could probably put another list together. She would too. This wouldn't be as good. So here we go. Number 10 on your list. Of course, when I met her, you know, I'd been with Cervelo, and I'd been in a dance scene in South Mississippi and South Louisiana for a while. So I was really into dance music. I still loved rock, but I was really into dance. One of my favorite dance artists back then was George Lamond. Many of you know him from Bad of the Heart. Great, great dance track. Well, on that album, he had a duet with Brenda K. Starr. And when Dan and I decided to get married, I said, hey, we should do the George Lamond song, the duet with Let That Be Our Wedding Song. And the song is called No Matter What. She vetoed the song. And I think a lot of it was she was just kind of looking for a reason not to use that, you know. But there's a line in there that says, you know, people are saying that we won't last. She said, nobody's saying that about us and we're going to last. And we have, you know, prophetically. So, but that's it. George Lamond's No Matter What featuring Brenda K. Starr, your number 10 track. Number 9, Richard Marx. And so this is back when I still wanted to do music, still. Kind of part of the deal, right? I was still working through it. And Richard Marx had a great song called Now and Forever, and he has this falsetto part at the end. And so I was singing in the car one day, and she looked at me, and she goes, that was really nice. I said, well, thank you very much. And I said, I hear that song, I think about us, think about you. You know, Now and Forever, I'll Be Your Man. I can't remember, Kim Basinger was in some movie, and that was from the soundtrack. But I like Richard Marx, I do. The big hair. You know, he married Daisy Fuentes, you know that? It's good work if you can get it. But Now and Forever from Richard Marx, number 9. Number 8, I had to work this one in. This list is not necessarily chronological. And this was tough because I love this song. I love this band. And matter of fact, it's our friends Shaman's Harvest from Jefferson City, Missouri, just outside of Como. And if they're in town, I'm going to try to link up. You know how it goes. I mean, it's last minute, so you never know. But Dana loves Shaman's Harvest, and I do too. And every time that we've been to see them play, because we've kind of befriended those guys, Josh and Nader are my buddies, and don't get to see them enough. But every time that we go, they treat us like long-lost friends. I mean, it's incredible. And one of the cool things about every time that we go, we get to go VIP and that kind of stuff and get to go see Soundcheck and all that. And Josh always walks up and says, well, Dana, tell us what we're playing tonight. Because they'll always play like one of her deeper cuts. And I think they just enjoy the fact that somebody loves the band as much as we do. But one of her favorites that they have played for us multiple times is Strike the Slate. They don't do a Destination Anywhere anymore. I don't know why Nate doesn't want to do it. But Strike the Slate is a song that they have played, especially for Dana, multiple times. We've gone to see him play. And if Shamans is ever coming to your neck of the woods, go see him. It's a great show. Number 7, and I had the lyrics from this song tattooed on my chest on the right side. And when Dana was out in Albuquerque, this song was very popular on Sirius XM Octane. And she said, every time I hear this song, it reminds me of us. And guys, things were not great. I mean, it's like being so far removed from each other. It required a real effort, you know, because you get so, all of a sudden you get used to them not being around, right? I'm going to rock shows every other weekend, and, you know, it just, it's tough. It is. Being apart is difficult. I was not built for a long-distance relationship. It's just not fulfilling to me. And some people, it's maybe better off that they don't have day-to-day interaction. I'm too needy for that. I admit it. But a track called Blood Runs Cold from Rain City Drive. And there's some lyrics in there that was very special to her. And so I went and got them tattooed on my chest. I did. For her. Speaking of tattoos, and there is one tattoo that we both have, and it's from Papa Roach song. And, you know, Pete Roach has been a big part of our lives, too. You know, No Matter What is a great song. It was kind of our anthem for a while. But one day, we were actually shooting pool out at Hobie's, just the two of us, just one, you know, midweek night. It wasn't crowded, and we just kind of put on our own music. And you know, she turned to me, and she goes, you know, you're like my gravity. She said, this song reminds me of us. And she said, because when I get ready to float away, you keep me grounded. And so the very next day, I went out and got gravity tattooed on my wrist, my right wrist, in a typewriter setting. And then she went out later and got gravity on her ankle to kind of exemplify that, right? So it's as if our gravities were linked, I'd be kind of holding her on the ground. And so not that I'm preventing her from flying, I'm preventing her from flying away. For all of you that would try to assign negative motive. But it's an important song to us. Number five, going way back, and really the only country song on this list. And I remember, you know, many of those days, man, when you're just kind of figuring it all out, right? I mean, it's like, you know, you got a lot of small kids, and, you know, there's not as much time for each other. You got to make time for each other. And you know, couple time becomes family time, and then time for the family becomes more important than that. So you got to be careful. You got to get out and have date nights and things like that. And it's one thing that I tell people all the time, don't ever let her forget she's your girlfriend, ever. You got to keep dating her. It's true. You do. You get comfortable. That's when problems come in. But I remember hearing this song, and it just kind of stuck out to me. And I had listened to it in forever. And just the other day, I got an earworm, and I put it on. And it brought me to tears all over again. And it's The Good Stuff from Kenny Chesney. I absolutely love that song, and I always have. And it reminds you of what really matters most. And it's not all of this other stuff, right? I am so obsessive about stuff. You know, whatever I'm working on becomes the biggest deal. Like when we did Rock Vegas, it's all that I wanted to talk about. Rock Vegas this, Rock Vegas that. So-and-so's coming. We sold this many tickets. It's going to be great. People want to do it the next year. And I do. I mean, I'm either all in or all out. That's been me. But the song, The Good Stuff, kind of reminds you about what matters most. You know, well, give me the good stuff. Well, you can't find that here, you know. And I love that line about it's the first long kiss on a second date. I mean, it's just great writing. Number four, another song that I kind of uncovered when Dana and I were apart a lot, and it's a band from New Zealand, I think. But it's a band called Ridden by Wolves, and we've had that on here before. And I did a reel of when she got back home, she was doing traveling with me and going out shooting photography on baseball weekends, and we had so much fun. And so I made a reel on Instagram and set it to the song Forever and Always. And it's so interesting. I thought initially this song was written during COVID, but it wasn't. It was written prior to COVID. And there's a line that says, if this is the end of the world, I want to spend it with you. You know, there is not anything I would rather do than kiss you and tell you I love you. It's so authentic. And the very first time I listened to it, I said, hey, can we hear that again? Can you play that back? And so we did. Number three, probably Dana's favorite, I don't know, classic love song, maybe. I remember when we were dating, she said that to me. She said, I think this is the most romantic song of all time. And then Tesla covered it, and so I shared that with her. She loved it too. Then too. Tesla's one of our favorite bands. I probably could have put What You Give on here. But nevertheless, it's the song I Love You from the Climax Blues Band. And it kind of fits, right? You know, it's like, you know, hitting the town, drinking the beer, growing my hair. That was all me, you know. And so when I met her, I understood if I wanted to be with her, I was going to have to fly straight. And so I give her a lot of credit to give me some incentive. In the beginning, I didn't know that I was worth the trouble, but I knew that she was. I was like, hey, she makes me happy. I like the person I am with her, so I'm going to have to, you know, stay out of trouble, not get back into drugs and alcohol and all the other negative things that I was involved in. So, yeah, in many ways, she kind of saved me. Now, she'll tell you on the other side of it, I did too. So, number two, We absolutely love this band, and I think everybody should. But it's Mother Love Bone, and we were so into Pearl Jam and Soundgarden, and that's one thing that I wrote about her years ago. You know, before she, it was a thing called Before She Was Their Mother. And one of the things that I pointed out is, before she was their mother, at UNO Lakefront Arena in New Orleans, she was front row at Pearl Jam. Yeah, on the Versus tour. We're right there on the front row. It was incredible. And we were so into Pearl Jam and so into Soundgarden, and still into Soundgarden, even though there is no more. We got new music coming eventually. But nevertheless, because we were into Soundgarden and because we were into Pearl Jam, we uncovered the Temple of the Dog album. They re-released it. And it was incredible. And we loved it. And it really got us transitioned into Mother Love Bone. And I remember one time, it was the day before payday, and we had like $25 left our name. And we went to a sound shop at the mall, at Cloverleaf Mall in Hattiesburg, and we bought the Mother Love Bone VHS documentary. And we just fell in love with Andrew Wood. And that's the reason I wear the black hat. As you guys know, it's not Breaking Bad, it's Andy Wood, who was born in Columbus, Mississippi. And the song that had always kind of resonated with her is Crown of Thorns, which is part of the single soundtrack too. So Mother Love Bone's Crown of Thorns, your number two track. But number one, and CJ Snare, God rest his soul, did a video for me on Cameo. And thankfully, I got more than my money's worth because we have some mutual friends. I had reached out to a friend because I was trying to, I said, hey, can you let CJ know I need this before a certain date? And so he did, and CJ gave me double my money's worth. And really sad that he died. But I remember the very first time I told her I loved her, and we were riding around Natchez, Mississippi, and I played this song for her off the Hold Your Fire album. I said, this is exactly how I feel about you. I was a little bit nervous because she was so beautiful, and I was a little bit intimidated. And it's When I Look Into Your Eyes. And so CJ did the video about that for us, and it was super cool. And you know what? Here's what I'm going to do. I'm actually play you what CJ did in this video to give a little praise to CJ. See if I can get this going for you.
Hey, how's it going, Dana? This is CJ Snare from Firehouse. Surprise! You're probably scratching your head going, what the heck? Why is he here on my screen? Well, I just want you to know that your husband, Steve, has chosen an occasion and a person, me. The occasion is just to do something special, and I think that's pretty amazing. I love those kind of gifts. I started just bringing things to my girlfriend, and now she does it to me. And it's just not for Christmas, not for your birthday, but just because you love that other person. So Dana, I'm sure Steve loves you and chose me to tell you that, because why? Well, back in 1992, I think he played you When I Look Into Your Eyes. And it was after he played that song that he told you that he loved you for the very first time. So congratulations on, well, 30 years. He actually has told me that you are his superhero wife and that you could do anything. And a little bit about the hardship you guys have endured over this past year. You've been kind of separated because of work, and that can be really tough, those long-distance relationships. I have a little bit of experience with that, being on the road and stuff, you know, but he wanted you to know he's so excited about coming back home and being reunited with you and the two of you being together forever. So I'd like to wish you both congratulations on the reunion. I would also like to say it's amazing, 30 years of love and great choice in songs there, Steve. And Dana, I'm glad that you love him back and that you guys are together and you're still rocking. So wherever you are in the country or around the world, when Firehouse comes to your town, we invite you to please come and see us, because we love you.
All right, next segment of the show brought to you by Campus Bookmart, a Starkvillian institution. Man, I love Campus Bookmart. I have for a long time. They have what I want, and that's Mississippi State merch. Every Bulldog on your list, whether it be birthday, Christmas, or just, yeah, hey, because I'm thinking of you, they would love new Mississippi State merch. Whether it's apparel, whether it's gift items, something to kind of detail out the fan cave, you can find it at Campus Bookmart. Miss Kathy Brown does an amazing job buying merch with the Mississippi State logo on it. We can never have enough state stuff, right? It's true. Diploma frames, again, graduation's coming up. Be thinking about that. Be the favorite aunt, uncle, grandparent, or whatever, and give your Mississippi State graduate an official Mississippi State diploma frame courtesy of Campus Bookmart. Now, if you can't make it to town or see their smiling faces, you can visit them online at campusbookmart.net, and you know the deal, right? By listening to this show, you get a promo code. That's BSR, Beautiful Steve Robertson. That saves you shipping on all orders over $75. Any order less than $75, absolutely incomplete. Okay, let's look ahead to the baseball weekend. Everything gets underway on Thursday. We'll take a quick look back at Tuesday, and I think the only game, let's see here, it was a couple games that were played. A few games got canceled, including ours. Tennessee gets Belmont 9-4. It proved to be a little more competitive game, but I think people realized it was a 5-3 game in the seventh, and then Tennessee says, okay, enough of this. They put up a four spot, put the game away, and they cruise 9-4. Andrew Fisher with an absolute monster home run in that game. South Carolina had the rally from behind. Winthrop, it felt like, had the game in control through seven. It was a 5-1 game going to the eighth. And the Gamecocks rally and put up a six spot in the eighth and then get the three outs in the ninth and escape with a 6-5 win. South Carolina now 27-26 overall, the same record as Winthrop. And I told you guys I thought this game could prove to be interesting. South Carolina 5-22. In the SEC, and that's the only team that I think that Missouri could catch. I think South Carolina's in for a tough weekend. Missouri would need to win the series or potentially sweep Mississippi State in order to make that happen. But, again, a possibility, not a probability. Northern Kentucky really didn't put up much of a fight against Kentucky. Kentucky not really doing a whole lot offensively. But it's a 3-0 game into the eighth, and then Northern Kentucky narrows the gap down to two. Kentucky answers with a three spot to put the game away at 6-1. Caius Gargett, a 2-for-4 night for the Wildcats. Auburn, is there a team right now in the SEC, maybe outside of Florida, that is scarier right now than Auburn? Number six in the country. They get Jacksonville State 19-1. An 11 spot in the fourth proved to be really, you know, the kill shot in many respects. It was already a 7-0 ball game, but it's 19-0 before Jacksonville State gets a run on the board there in the seventh. Midweek pitching has been good for Auburn, which kind of bodes well when you think about getting into a regional. If you get into loser's bracket, you got to have enough pitching to get out. The Tigers out hit the Gamecocks 16-4 in the ball game. Center fielder slash first baseman Bub Terrell, a native of Meridian, Mississippi, played left field in the games against us, goes 3-for-4 with 5 RBI. UT Martin got punched in the mouth pretty early by Ole Miss. Ole Miss gets up 7-0. UT puts up a couple in the fourth. And two more in the sixth, and just as they're kind of climbing back into it, Ole Miss 1 in the sixth and 3 in the eighth to really kind of put the game away, 11-5. Your final, but Ole Miss pitching, still a bit of an adventure. Gunnar Dennis gets the win, works one inning in relief there, but 11 hits for the Skyhawks against Ole Miss pitching, and that Ole Miss offense is interesting too, but that's your midweek roundup, and that wraps up all the midweek games this year. Everything else the rest of the way is SEC or tournament-type games, and so not going to see many more of those ball games until we get into the regionals, and even those games will be probably a lot more competitive. So heading into the weekend, we talk about A&M struggles. They're 10-17 in the league, so no chance to finish at or above 500, and then they got to go to Georgia. And Foley is a tough place to play, period. Even before, you know, Will Coggin and Wes Johnson, those guys got there, Foley Field, very offensive park, and so it's not pitcher-friendly. And Wes Johnson's doing enough on the pitching side to make this team competitive. Let's be honest, though. Georgia offensively is one of those teams, when they get on a roll, it's very difficult to compete against them. Now, A&M has some big road wins this year. This would be among the biggest. But you start beginning to wonder, and if you watched any of that Missouri thing, and I really think when Missouri scored 6 in the 9th to take game one, I think the embarrassment of that, the weight of that being the first team to lose to Missouri, I think it lingered all weekend. They were so non-competitive on Sunday. It was embarrassing. It was absolutely embarrassing to see A&M's approach. Their body language was terrible. So you're 27-23. A&M could be in a situation where they finish the year at 500. If they get swept this weekend and go one and done in Hoover, they're going to finish 27-27. Unacceptable. Absolutely unacceptable. Slate offered for Georgia, 16 tanks, 57 RBIs, hitting 336. Defensively, still a bit of an adventure at times. But you got to like Georgia here to take 2 of 3. Now, A&M, you know, we're going to kind of find out what they're made of. And I think what they're made of right now is a bunch of guys that are playing for the draft and not playing for the Aggies. And so this could be a very interesting situation. Now, A&M has some good pitching. Like Ryan Preggers and those guys are really good. Lampkin's a guy that got us last year, thanks in part to Morris Hodges. But they have not been as good as advertised. And part of that's because they have not been able to get things going offensively, which was supposed to be the reason you keep Michael Early in the first place, right? Because you've got such a loaded lineup back. And, of course, they've had some injuries, but now you've got guys back. But it hadn't been great. So we'll take Georgia to take the series. Alabama, of course, takes 2 of 3 from Georgia last week. They will be at red-hot Florida this week. Remember when Florida was 1-11 in the league? Yeah, 13-14 now. And so Alabama, not, you know, some people out there thinking they may play their way into a hosting-type opportunity. The only way that happens, I think, is if they take the series against Florida, and they may need to sweep, and that's a tough, 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 tough task. And I don't know that Alabama has got the depth to get it done. Justin LeBron starting to hit again. He'll have to carry him a little bit. But Florida, red hot as of late. I like Florida to take the series. I know Alabama's feeling good about life after taking a series against Georgia, but that was at home. Playing down there at Condren Park is going to be a little bit different. And I think the fans will turn out a little bit here. Florida doesn't support baseball perhaps the way they should. But down the stretch when they're playing well, those fans are kind of fair-weathered both literally and figuratively. They got to do something with Cade Snell, though. Alabama, that guy's really playing well. 390, 10 tanks, 49 ribbies. Of course, you know all about State in Missouri. LSU will visit South Carolina. And it's almost poetic in some respects, you know. Pulmonary is there. And again, South Carolina is on the hook for a huge buyout if they elect to move on from him. And this is the thing, too. People wonder about how the A&M, if A&M makes a change, how it impacts us. Well, it does. I don't think South Carolina impacts us as much, though. It's not as good a job. They got 2 national championships, but from a funding standpoint, things aren't nearly as favorable at South Carolina. There's a reason we were able to get Justin Parker away from them. And it's not because Columbia, South Carolina isn't a great place to live. I mean, a lot of people love it out there. You got 5 points, a lot of things to do out there. But, from a financial standpoint, we are more committed to baseball than South Carolina is, which is odd considering Ray Tanner was the AD for so long. But his hands are somewhat tied by the Board of Regents. But I like LSU to go in here. LSU currently the number one team in the country. And if you had told me that weekend that we went and played them that LSU would end up being number one, I don't know that I would have believed it. It's not to say they're not a good team, but the number one team, because you guys feel like I do, we should have taken 2 of those 3 games. And again, that's the frustrating part about the Mississippi State season. We feel like we were so close. Just imagine where we'd be right now had we taken 1 from LSU and 1 from Texas. I mean, just lose the series, but just take those 2 games. How much differently would our season look? Completely different. That's how thin the margins are in this league. But, yeah, I like LSU to take care of South Carolina. It should be a sweep. I think the guys at South Carolina are ready to go out and get to the Cape and just kind of get away and get a reset. But the game has changed a lot since Paul Maneri left, and that's one of the things I think you run into when you go hire a guy that maybe is having to recruit in a different way. When you're at LSU and you got top scholarships and everything else to work with, and you've got one of the greatest fan bases in college athletics at your disposal, people that are willing to donate, people are going to show up at ball games, it's a much different dynamic at South Carolina. The people at South Carolina are there to be entertained. They're not energizing the team like they are at LSU. So I like LSU to win that. I don't think it'll be much of a contest. Kentucky's at Vanderbilt. And again, Kentucky fresh off the sweep of Oklahoma last week. And we talked about Vanderbilt offensively, not a great team. They have pitched it exceptionally well, though. Kentucky, a little bit offensively challenged. We're going to take Vanderbilt 2 out of 3 here. I won't be surprised if Kentucky gets 2. They got to get at least 1. But if they get 2, I think you can feel really good about the Wildcats making the NCAA tournament. They finished 500 at 15-15. I think they're in. And I think one of the situations, too, you begin to kind of work out what's more advantageous for State. Well, Kentucky, with State having 3 wins over them, and they're right behind State in the RPI, you begin to think about, we don't play Vanderbilt. So if Kentucky takes 3 from Vanderbilt, Kentucky would rise in the RPI, and by token, so would Mississippi State. The flip side is if Vanderbilt takes the series and State takes care of business at Missouri, we could pull ahead of Kentucky in the SEC standings. What's better for State? I think it's to be ahead of Kentucky in the standings. But I think that in and of itself kind of nick, you're not going to flip those, right? If you finish ahead of them and you beat them head-to-head, I don't think the RPI is as big a factor. So I think that puts State above Kentucky in the pecking order. So we're going to root for Vanderbilt because that's what's best for Mississippi State, in my estimation. Auburn will make the trip up to Ole Miss. And, again, I don't know that I'd want to play them. And you all saw Ole Miss pitching up close last weekend. Hunter Elliott's been great, back to form. So it'll be interesting to kind of see how game one plays out. I don't think that Ole Miss has the arms with Riley Maddox or Mason on Friday, Saturday to win this series. Now, Auburn at times too has been a little bit challenged pitching-wise, but they've moved some people around. They've been red hot offensively. Ike Irish, of course, Cooper McMurray started moving a little bit too, but that's a lineup that doesn't have a lot of holes in it. And so if you're Ole Miss trying to play your way into something significant, you know, if Ole Miss swept Auburn, they're going to host. Because not only does Ole Miss's RPI in really good standing, they would leapfrog Auburn. Auburn right now, some people projecting to be a top 8 national seed at 16-11. Ole Miss sweeps this series, they're 17-13 and would be ahead of Auburn. There's no way they wouldn't host. I just don't think they're even going to win the series. But there's still the possibility, so Ole Miss still playing for a lot. Texas will visit Oklahoma. Oklahoma, of course, smarting after getting swept last week. And again, Jared Spencer not pinching for Texas. And they have scuffled a little bit without him. You know, we thought they were just going to run away with the SEC. It's become a lot more competitive. But it's still not decided. But Arkansas will need some help from Oklahoma. LSU will need even more help. Arkansas just two games behind Texas. So Arkansas will have their hands full, but they're also at home against Tennessee. I like Texas to take the series against Oklahoma, even though I know that Oklahoma will be jacked. That place only holds about 3,500 people, but it'll be packed. And you know, I'm sure Texas people are thinking, hey, a chance for us to clinch an SEC championship against one of our primary rivals. Very significant. The Tennessee game at Arkansas, and again, Tennessee has really scuffled the last 4 weeks. They were number one team in the country earlier this year. They're 17 right now, 15-12 in the league. They'll go to Arkansas. And again, there's no love lost between Tony and Dave, even though Tony's a former Dave Van Horn assistant. You know, these Arkansas-Tennessee series at times have been very contentious. Arkansas has played really well at home. not as well on the road. Tennessee has played pretty good everywhere until lately. I like Arkansas to take the series 2-1, and that could basically clinch the SEC championship for Texas. And Texas has to take care of business and get a little help from Tennessee. Of course, Texas controls their own destiny, but it's so difficult to get the elusive road sweep in the Southeastern Conference, especially when it's two teams that are expected to make the NCAA tournament. So again, quickly looking at the standings, Texas 2 games up over Arkansas by, and so LSU 3 games back, mathematically possible, not really probable. Now, LSU will have the opportunity to get the 20 wins by virtue of playing at South Carolina, but they would need Oklahoma to sweep Texas and for Tennessee to at least take a game in order for them to earn a share of the SEC championship. Isn't that interesting, right, that LSU is ranked the number one team in the country, but they're third in the SEC standings? Very interesting, if you ask me. Vanderbilt, Georgia, Auburn, all right there at 16 and 11. Now, that's six teams you look at right there and say, hey, there's a possibility that all of these teams could be deserving of a top eight national seed. I think right now the only assurance you have is, barring a total collapse, Texas, Arkansas, LSU will be top eights. Based on what I'm hearing, we're not going to get more than 4 SEC top eight national seeds. Could be 5 if the cards fall just right, but probably only 4 is a guarantee. So who gets it, Vanderbilt, Georgia, or Auburn? Well, Georgia, with A&M coming in, probably has the easier path. Vanderbilt has a Kentucky team that historically has been very difficult to defend, especially from a stolen base standpoint. And then there's Auburn, who has to go on the road. And so if it goes the way we expect, with all three of those teams winning their series, that really gives the committee a lot to think about and talk about. And those are some of the things that I think that are very interesting. As you look at some of those teams that played Missouri early on, I think the quality of the SEC schedule has to matter too. And again, you look Texas, Arkansas, LSU, the teams at the top have played Missouri. There's some of these teams in the middle of the pack that are vying for that 4th or potentially 5th top eight national seed that didn't play Missouri. And so does that factor in? Potentially. I think if you are on the committee, you have to look at that. But how many guys are going to make that deep a dive? That's the real question there. And, of course, Scott Strickland is the SEC rep on the D1 Baseball Committee. Scott will be prepared. But that's an interesting dynamic. And, of course, Tennessee 15 and 12. Tennessee may not even host. Now, they have a good weekend at Arkansas. Yeah, then I think things change. They win the series and have 17 wins with their RPI and strength of schedule. I think, yeah, 2 wins against Arkansas on the road, a team that's competing for the SEC championship, that's a pretty loud statement. Just behind them, of course, is Alabama. You know, we'll see what Alabama can do this weekend. I don't think it's enough to play their way in, but if they win the series, they're certainly in the conversation. It's just going to be difficult to do that. And we mentioned Ole Miss, 14 and 13. We've already discussed that. Of course, everybody else in the league, I think, is out of the hosting discussion, including Oklahoma, unless they sweep Texas. If they sweep Texas, then they're 16 and 14. If they just beat Texas, they're 500 in the league, so they're not going to be in a position to host. If they sweep, then it becomes a matter of conversation. Florida, some people projecting them to host. Well, Florida sweeps this weekend, they will. And, of course, all this traffic in the middle will kind of clear itself up. Mississippi State's 12 and 15. We're not in a position to host. We're just hoping to get in the tournament. And I think there's a scenario, though, where State could play their way into a 2 seed rather than a 3 seed, especially as this traffic begins to kind of clear ahead of us. You know, again, there's so many teams kind of tightly packed in there together, and you begin to think about it. What happens if State gets a sweep this weekend? Well, if you sweep this weekend and things fall maybe the way we project, you could be in a situation where you leapfrog Oklahoma, leapfrog Kentucky, and dare I say it, leapfrog Ole Miss. Again, I expect Florida to win that series. But if Florida just wins the series 2-1 in state sweeps, then we're tied. Now, they would win the tiebreaker because of the head-to-head. But there are a lot of things that have to be played out, a lot of scoreboard watching this weekend. But again, it's so difficult to predict the road sweep. But if state sweeps, there is a really good chance state is going to pick off a couple teams ahead of them and move farther up the SEC pecking order. Now, just behind state by 2 games is Texas A&M, and I think Texas A&M is in for a world of hurt than at Georgia and in South Carolina and Missouri. So you look at this and say, Steve, man, we're so far back. But nobody has, other than the fact that we got a – LSU is probably the only team you look at right now, and so that's a better situation for them. But we're going to Missouri, and then Missouri is holding out two of their biggest arms for the series. So it's there for the taking. We just simply have to take care of our business and then watch the traffic clear in front of us. But, there's theoretically, there's a possibility state could even have a bye in the tournament. Yeah, I mean, it's just super cool, man. Super, super cool. We just got to keep playing well. Simple as that. We can't worry about what's happening anywhere else because we get to 15-15. There's no keeping us out. I don't think there's any scenario where we're not in it at 15-15. Might even be safe at 14-16, but you may have to go to Hoover and win a game just to feel good about it. But if we sweep this weekend, I think you're playing for positioning next week. And who would have thought we'd have been having that discussion, 6 weeks ago? You know, I definitely felt like these last 3 weeks favored us, no matter who was in the dugout. But it is evident to me and to everybody else that, since we have moved on from Coach Chris Simonis, the kids are playing a lot looser, a lot more relaxed. The black clouds aren't over their heads anymore. So here we are playing meaningful baseball here in the month of May. And a chance to make another NCAA regional. And again, tip of the cap to all the coaches and players involved as we move forward. Final segment of the show brought to you by the Historic Vegas Clubhouse, the best place to stay in the Golden Triangle when you're bringing a large group to town. And you should. You should. I mean, how many times do we say it? We don't get together enough. Well, stop saying it and start doing it. Let's get everybody together and make some good things happen. Everybody get together and spend some time together. It's a wonderful thing. 6 bedrooms, 2 soon to be 3 baths, the great back porch area, the fire pit area, the full service kitchen, the wet bar, great dining area, plenty of room to spread out and everybody just enjoy each other's company. You don't even have to go out. You can DoorDash some food or you can cook, whatever you want to do. We did a little bit of both. We went out, we DoorDashed, and we cooked while we were there. It's a great experience. We stayed there for New Year's. I'm speaking from personal experience. I love the place. It's the old renovated clubhouse at the old country club out past the Highlands, just 5 minutes away from the Mississippi State campus. So incredibly convenient for you. You can do your tailgating right there. Now, just Google Stark Vegas Clubhouse. And when you do, their Facebook page auto-populates. You'll have the opportunity to peruse all the amenities available to you and your guests. You'll enjoy that. Also, some booking options are going to pop up during that Google search. Now, you can book through Airbnb or VRBO. It's up to you. Maybe you've got a credit. I don't know your needs. But if you want to save some money, book through the Evolve website. Use promo code BSR10. That's Beautiful Steve Robertson 10. And that gets you 10% off your stay just by listening to this show. So you're not just being educated, informed, and entertained. You get a chance to save some money at the Golden Triangle's premier place to stay. And again, whether it's friends and family, there's plenty of room for everybody. So instead of going out and getting 5 and 6 hotel rooms and everybody being scattered all over the Golden Triangle, let's get everybody together. We can congregate longer. We can recreate longer. We can visit longer and then go check out a ball game. And it's open all year. It's not just the weekends. It's midweek, too. So if you've got some summer vacation time and maybe Disney or the Redneck Riviera is not in your plans this year, come to Starkville and enjoy your favorite city. And be able to kind of navigate when there's not quite as much traffic in town. Your kids are gone mostly in the summertime. Come up here and enjoy some of your favorite restaurants and some of your favorite hotspots here in Starkville by staying at the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. the best place to stay in the Golden Triangle. Okay, so we mentioned earlier in the day, Mississippi State. Earlier this year, we finally got the details. We were able to get that out there. It's so interesting, the revisionist history that so many people have. But nevertheless, Zach Selman signed a contract extension earlier this year. And we were able to get the details and broke that story earlier today. Just to kind of recap for you here about that. The new deal has a $25,000 a year increase in pay. You said that's not significant. Well, I'll take it. You want to give me 25 grand extra? I'll take it right now. So we didn't really break the bank, but we did give a raise. The deal runs through 2029. And of course, as you guys know, state law prohibits you from having more than a 4-year contract. And so, you know, effective date, of course, will begin end of this year. And he's got some fulfillment incentive payments. Like if he is still our athletic director on July 31st of each year during the term of this contract, he gets a $100,000 bonus. Now, one of the things I thought was important to put this out there, there's a lot of people out there that have said, hey, Zach Selman doesn't want to be here. He's shopping for jobs or whatever. Signing this 4-year contract, I hope, puts a lot of that to rest, because while there have been some schools that have pursued him, it has not been what it's been advertised by many others. And there's some people out there that love, they fall in love with what they think they know and they can't wait to tell somebody else. And so I'm glad that we get this part of it done. Now, some other of you will come out and say, hey, well, what has he done to get an extension? Well, there's a lot that I can say about that. The first thing that I would say is every athletic director, the health of their department is measured by wins and losses, just like it is for coaches. And so we had a terrible football season. It is, no matter what the reasoning was or injury, no matter what, we went 2-10, period. We went 2-10. We felt like the men's basketball team had the potential to get out of the first weekend and possibly get to the Sweet 16. And even if that was a little bit ambitious, we certainly hoped to win a game. We didn't. But we did make the tournament for the third straight year. We've only done that one other time in school history. Women back in the tournament, was it 3 of the last 4 years? I know 2 of the 3 last 4 years. Yeah. And so didn't win a game, though. And so it's like, yeah, we did this, but, you know. And so I can see both sides of the coin. Now, the flip side of it is we are setting a school record for fundraising in an academic year. That's significant. We've announced plans for the IPF, something we've needed for a long time. And Zach said this, and I agree with him. You know, you don't build facilities for coaches, you build them for your program. No matter who the coach is, you do it for the health of your program. We've done that, and it'll be 3 years, so it's going to take a little while. But that's been announced, and of course, change of leadership in baseball. Many of you were cheering for that, but I think ideally everybody was just cheering for Mississippi State, and we couldn't get the return on that investment, so everybody's like, we need to make a change. That's done. I don't care who's filling out the lineup card. I just want to win, and I want to win big, and I want to win another national championship in the next 5 years, period. So that's done, and we kind of move forward here. In addition to that, we broke a story, too, today that Mitch Moser, former Duke chief financial officer of that athletic department, is now headed to Starkville. He'll be here mid-June. We were able to get that out this afternoon, and a guy that has worked extensively in college athletics, over 30 years experience, and went into retirement and was working for the Huron Consulting Group, still really in kind of higher education, and then had the opportunity to get back into college, and he's like, that's kind of where I belong. And so here's a little blurb that I was sent. Mitch had a distinguished 25-year tenure at Duke University, serving as Deputy Director of Athletics and Chief Financial Officer. He provided oversight for all financial functions, capital projects totaling more than $350 million, revenue generation initiatives, and student athlete support programs. He was a key leader in negotiating major media rights and apparel contracts and played a pivotal role in Duke's long-term planning efforts. End quote. A lot of that's very important because we need to generate more revenue, period. And that's one of the things about, you know, building the IPF, right? That building is not going to generate any revenue for us. Now, it's going to help us with recruiting. It should help us with practice and planning. There's a lot to that. Also, too, you know, eventually we'll have to hire another coach some point, right? And so that's a selling point for us. But that's not going to generate revenue. Ideally, what you want to do is you want to be able to have, you know, kind of a capital fundraising campaign to improve premium seating at all Mississippi State sporting venues, and Davis Wade, I would say, especially. You want to add more premium seating because those seats generate revenue. Now, some people that are kind of short-sighted and at times misinformed talk about, well, baseball doesn't make money. Well, the reason baseball doesn't make money right now is because of the fact that we're still waiting for those 10-year seat licenses to expire. That's going to happen in 2028. And so then those seats that have not generated revenue for 10 years will begin to generate revenue again because we took that lump sum up first to give us some seed money to build the stadium. And so in time, baseball is going to be self-sufficient again. And there's always some creative accounting and things that go along with that. But that's going to be a nice influx of cash here in about 3 years. And so that's an aspect of this that I think is important. Everything that we do has to generate revenue. And so that's one of the things that makes this IPF kind of an outlier because there's not a lot of people out there that are building. And I think it gives us an opportunity to kind of make up some ground. And we can say, hey, we're committed to football. We built this. You know, Auburn built that, you know, palace out there just a few years ago. I've had a chance to tour that facility. It's outstanding. And so in many respects, we will likely have the newest and nicest of the IPFs. Now, how much does that matter? We're not going to put a water element or an ice sculpture or anything like that. It's not going to be a lazy river. We're not doing any of that stuff. It's going to be very functional. But it's also a sign that we're doing some things. And much of that is being paid for with private donations. So we're not writing the check and exhausting our revenue or our reserves for much of that. A lot of that's going to come from private donations. Just today at 10 a.m., they announced another $1 million gift from a family in central Mississippi towards the Howard Performance Center. And so that's kind of what we're doing. That's kind of been the modus operandi. It's like, hey, we want to build things, but we want to give people naming rights and allow them to pay us for the naming rights, which in turn helps us get the construction done. And I think that's where Moser comes in too. You know, Moser will come in, I think, and help Zach Selman kind of find these revenue generating opportunities. And that's, you know, it's a significant thing. And we don't want to undersell it by any stretch of the imagination, but there's change within the administration. And, you know, we've got some talented people too that have kind of built a name for themselves. I won't be surprised if we see a couple of other people leave for other positions, and I don't mean laterally. I think when we get into the summer months, I think there are some people on staff at Mississippi State in a variety of departments that may have the opportunity to advance their careers. And so if and when that happens, there's no guarantee. That's just kind of some chatter that I've heard. I think that we talk about assessing the health of your department when other people are coming in and doing a good job and then get the opportunity to advance their careers and get bigger positions elsewhere. I think that is also a sign of health, right? Because if we were in a scenario where we weren't doing well and we didn't have a healthy scenario, why would you want to go get somebody from a bad scenario and bring them to your organization? You wouldn't do that. And so I share that. Again, there's no guarantee that happens, but there are some very talented individuals involved with Mississippi State Athletics that will have the opportunity to be athletic director somewhere else at some point in their career. And you probably know a couple names on your own. I'm not going to mention them, but there's a couple people out there that very prominently mentioned that are very much the face of that department at times that are extremely impressive. And I think that is something to consider too. When you hire good people, you're not always going to hang on to them, right? That's why I go getting a guy like Moser, who's really at the tail end of his career, probably going to be with you forever. You know, a guy that's established, he's an empty nester, he and his wife, two kids in their mid-20s. And so they're going to come here, and you know, this is the kind of the job he wanted, and so here he is. Those are things I think are important. So again, you know, very fortunate to be able to break that news for you today, and we make that stuff free because we think you need to know the facts about all that stuff. All that stuff is important to us. When something good happens, you need to know. When something bad happens, you need to know. And we want to be the ones to deliver that to you. We do not want to be an aggregate news site where we're just kind of citing everybody else's reports. It's very important to me. If you hadn't done so, go to visit dutynoblebook.com, and you can get all my sports titles there, along with When the Bottom Falls, which a lot of people think is my best book. Very personal to me. But, you know, with Father's Day coming up, you'll have the opportunity, of course, you can get Dad some signed copies of some Mississippi State books. Yeah, how cool would that be? Come visit us at True West Float Spa of Starville. We have had the busiest 2 weeks in our history, the last 2 weeks. And typically, midweek is typically kind of light for us at times, and it's been jam-packed in recent days. And we were even booked up on Saturday and Sunday. And that's a rarity for us. And so now's a good time for you to be thinking about that. And visit True Rest Float Spa of Starville on Facebook and Instagram. You can call Dana at 662-268-7601 and get more information. If you're a person that suffers with chronic anxiety or pain, we may be able to help you. We've helped many others. And so even if you don't have those issues and you just want a break, give yourself a chance to get a bit of a mental reset or just kind of a timeout for yourself, come check it out. You'll be glad you did. You float effortlessly on top of the water. Incredibly cool. Very cool experience. Come be a part of it. And come join our merry band of misfits over at jeanspage.com. And I will be in Columbia, Missouri this weekend bringing you exclusive content about Mississippi State's baseball weekend in Como. I think it's very important that we're there because there's so much at stake right now. So until next time, let's all live our lives in a way we make more friends and enemies and people can see a difference in the way we live.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. At ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.